Today's topic is living the new life. Okay? And we're going to look at two scriptures. Romans 8. And we're going to be talking about what does it mean to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. All right? And then the second thing we're going to talk about is how we were baptized into one body and what that means. Okay? And that's from 1 Corinthians 12. These are pretty standard baptism scriptures. Okay? And so let's review where we are. So last week we talked about, remember the theme last week was from dead to alive, right? We were once dead, and God has made us alive. So the main scripture we looked at was Colossians 2, verse 13. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him. Okay? And we also talked about, from Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And so, I've got these pictures here for you, but so picture number one, we'll just go over this real quick. So, we said that in Colossians 2 tells us that we were dead in two things. Okay, we were dead, number one, in our trespasses. We were dead because of our sins, right? And the sin caused an alienation from God. Okay, we were objectively distant from him. Okay? And the way God brought us back near was through the blood of Christ. Because when he sees the blood, it satisfies him as a righteous God. And he sees the blood and not our sin. Okay? And so, we were dead in our trespasses. And that drawing is represented by picture one, where we have God and we have this huge gap, huge distance between us and God. And through the blood of Christ, God has brought us near. Okay? That's one thing. The second thing we talked about is that it says we were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. Okay? And so we talked about how it's kind of like I gave the analogy of I speak Korean, okay? And God speaks English in the house, and he brought me to his house, but like, okay, I'm close, but I don't understand anything that is going on. So we were dead. And we said how when you're dead to something, it may be there, but you can't receive any of it. So someone who is blind, for example, is dead to light and colors. There's light here, there's right colors, but if you're blind, you're dead to it. You can't experience it. Okay? And so we said that God had to deal with it. So he circumcised us through the circumcision of Jesus Christ, right? Not with hands. And so the picture that I showed here is that this picture is like a picture of our heart, and we had this uncircumcised flesh, and no matter what, God could not get through to us, okay? We were dead to the things of God. We had no desire for him. We could not hear his voice. We could not feel his presence. We could not experience his reality, okay? And so we were dead. We were dead to God. Okay? So we weren't literally dead. We were dead to God and the things of God. And through the death of Jesus Christ, what we said is that God circumcised us. He took off this flesh so that it would come to nothing. The flesh now is dead. And he made us alive. And what he did when he made us alive is that he gave us the Holy Spirit. Okay? We are now alive in Christ. Okay? I gave a few examples of how, for some people, when you have a conversion, you experience God right away. Boom. Right? And for me, nothing changed. And I had severe doubts. Right? But because God had circumcised my heart and put his Holy Spirit, over time, I began to experience the reality of God. I began to hear his voice. I began to, oh, this is what God is. I began to see God in my life. Okay? That was, so we talked about this last week. And then finally, picture number three is, we talked about how, so this has happened, okay? But picture number three really is one of my favorites. The first picture, you might be wondering what the heck that is, but it represents, I use the example of the earth and gravity and a rocket ship, okay? And it doesn't matter if you are Michael Jordan, no matter what, even if you jump with tremendous power, you always land back on earth, okay? Because there is a power and there's a law of gravity, okay? And so there's this thing called the law of sin and death, and we can't escape it. It just happens again and again and again. We cannot help that cycle. It happens over and over. It's a law, okay? But if there is another power, if the rocket ship has enough fuel, it will be able to escape the pull of the gravity and go into outer space. Okay? And so we said that, I use an example, but we talked about how in the same way the law of the Spirit of life, it has set me free. Okay? So that our experience doesn't have to be this. Meaning we try to live the Christian life, but we end up kind of defeated. We feel like it's difficult, it's failing, okay? And so, the second picture describes the life whereby we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit, okay? And we live in Christian freedom, okay? So that was last week. And so, let's continue this week, okay? So I'm going to turn to page number two. And I'm going to start with the questions, okay? So what is the difference between walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit? What prevents us from walking according to the Spirit? And what is the key to walking according to the Spirit? Okay? By God's grace, my goal is to share with you, okay? What the difference is, so that when you leave, you're like, okay, I think I have something I can do, okay? It's not just this mystical thing, okay? Let's read Romans 8, the first four verses, okay? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We cover that in class number one. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? So, before we go into this, let me just point out verse 3. Verse 3 is very interesting because it says, do you see that the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do? You guys see that? Okay. What that means is that we were unable to live a righteous life just by knowing the law. Just by knowing what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do. Okay? Knowledge and education is not enough, okay? Because we're weakened by the flesh. Okay? And so God did what the law could not do. Okay? So this picture here where you jump and you land back on the earth describes the Christian life lived according to the law. Trying to do the right thing. Okay? Now, trying to do the right thing is a good thing. We should all have that mentality, but we're going to talk, we realize it doesn't have enough power. We don't have the power to sustain that. Okay? And so, God intervened by sending his own son, and then so it says in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay? It means, through the Holy Spirit, through what he did, now we could walk in a way that the righteous fulfillment of the law, that the requirement of the law could be fulfilled in us. Okay? But there's a condition, who walk not according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So then that's the million-dollar question. So how do we, what does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? And I really struggled with this lesson because it's like, how do you cover this in 1 hour? Okay? So we'll try our best. All right? So let's start with, what does it mean to walk according to the flesh? And what the first thing I want to say is, it is not limited to gratifying sinful desires. Okay? So, gratifying sinful desires is one example of walking in the flesh, but it's not limited to that. That make sense? Okay. Please just raise your hand if you're like, I didn't get that, because that'll help me to clarify more. Walking according to the flesh, okay, in Romans 8, is really, it has a slightly different meaning than gratifying the sinful desires. It means to do something from myself. To derive strength from the old natural source of life that I inherited from Adam. It's to derive my strength from my flesh. Okay? From my natural self. Okay? If it doesn't make sense completely, then it's okay. Well, I have examples in page 3. And so, living according to flesh means I live out of my own strength and under my own direction. I'm the boss. I do what's best. Okay? That's walking according to the flesh. I want us to get away from, like, living according to the Spirit means doing good, and living according to the flesh means doing bad. I want to go beyond that very simplistic thing, okay? Even though that's part of it, okay? Walking according to the flesh means I live out of myself, okay? And, you know, today's message really complements this very well, because what did Michael say is that you have been given a spirit. Remember he said that? You've been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a spirit of love, of power, and of self-control, right? And what we have to realize is that when we became Christians, God filled us with the Holy Spirit, okay? And that is supposed to be the source of our strength. So when we live according to the flesh, we're actually not living according to our true nature. Because our true nature is that we have the Holy Spirit. But when we live according to flesh, we're not living according to our true identity. We're not actually being true to ourselves, to who we really are. So, walking according to the Spirit, what does that mean? It means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. I'm going to use this word cannot because it's in verse 3, right? God did what the law could not do. And so when we live by the Spirit, we trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I could not do on my own. This life is completely different from the life I would naturally live out of myself. It is not a case of trying, but of trusting and looking to the Spirit of God to produce in me the needed virtue. It means that I derive strength from a supernatural source of life that I inherited from Christ. And it means that I live in His strength and under His direction. It means that I yield to the Holy Spirit in obedience. Now, I really like the word yield. Okay? And I want to talk about the yielding for a little bit, okay? At BCF, we like to talk about the Holy Spirit as a stream, as a river. Okay? I like that analogy, okay? You know the river has current? You know actually the river is very, very powerful. You know? It's moving. Okay? And so a river, it has a direction and it's got force. Right? So you can try to go upstream, it's gonna be very, very difficult. But if you go downstream, right, it's a lot easier on a boat. Right? And it's got certain force. So some rivers are slow, some rivers, there are certain parts where it's really strong. Okay? The Holy Spirit is like a river. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not this like static thing that does nothing. The Holy Spirit is like a river. Okay? Psalm 46 says there's a river that makes glad the cities of God, right? And so when we yield to the Holy Spirit, like we're not like trying to muster up our own strength. What we're doing is yielding might mean we were going this way and we realized, you know what? God really does not want me to go this direction. Yield is like, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm gonna just go this direction. That's yielding. Okay? Yielding is you're yielding to a power. Okay? You're yielding to the supernatural power of God. Okay? So I like that word yield. Because yield you surrender. So living according to the Spirit is yielding. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23 says that it results in the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So you know, for example, what's one of the fruits of the Spirit?
Love.
Okay? Love is the fruit of the Spirit. It means that you've got a tree here, right? It's a fruit. It came from a seed. It grew. Okay? So a Christian is not necessarily... We take actions to love people. Okay? But when the Bible says it's a fruit, that means that the love came from a different source and it came out in us and through us. Okay? And when we walk and live according to the Spirit, we're actually being true to our real self. Okay? We are living in accordance with our new nature, our true identity in Christ. And so Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, okay, and it says, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Do you see that word cause? I highlighted it for us. The spirit within us causes. It's different than we try to walk in God's statutes. It causes us to walk in God's statutes. Okay? It causes us to be careful to obey His rule. We don't try to be careful. It causes us. Okay? All right, next page. I hope this is helpful. I dug this out of C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, okay? Because I want us to get the difference between the natural life and the life of the Spirit, okay? So this is what C.S. Lewis says. He says, your natural life is derived from your parents, okay? It's the biological life, okay? That does not mean it will stay there if you do nothing about it. You can lose it by neglect. You can drive it away by committing suicide. You have to feed it and look after it. But always remember, you are not making it. You're only keeping up a life you got from someone else. Okay? So that's a good description of our natural life. That's the life in the flesh. In the same way, a Christian can lose the Christ life which has been put into him, and he has to make efforts to keep it. But even the best Christian that ever lived is not acting on his own steam. He is only nourishing or protecting a life he could never have acquired by his own efforts. Okay? So the Christ life, we did not acquire by our own effort. It was given to us. Okay? And what we're doing is nourishing and protecting that life, that Christ life. Okay, that's another angle on what it means to walk in this world. In one sense, the road back to God is a road of moral effort, of trying harder and harder. But in another sense, it is not trying that is ever going to bring us home. All this leads up to the vital moment at which you turn to God and say, you must do this, I cannot. So, I try to differentiate walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. Okay, and so the question is, what's the key to doing that, and what prevents us from doing that? Okay, and I think it's wrapped up in this word, one word, cannot or could not do. Okay, Romans 8:3 it says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. See, God, we might fool ourselves. We might be like, you know what? Let me try one more time. Okay? God's like, no, you could not do that. You cannot. Okay? And so he sent his son. It says the flesh, it's weakened by the flesh. So the word weakened, it means it's sick. It's feeble. Okay? And I looked a little bit further into the Greek phrase for could not do, and it really means it's impossible. It's incapable, unable, powerless, without power. Okay? And so the key, guys, the one key that I want to give you to walking in the Spirit is coming to a place where you say, I cannot live the Christian life. I cannot live a Christian life on my own. Okay? I need to depend. This sounds very, very simple, guys. I need to depend on God. I need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Okay? For some people, this concept is very easy. They learn to depend on the Holy Spirit right away. You know? For some people, it's very, very hard. It was very hard for me. I tried to live the Christian life in my flesh. You know, and I would try very hard. People would pray for me. They'd be like, it looks like you're trying to climb a wall, a 1,000-foot wall by yourself. That's what my Christian life was like. Okay? And so when we come to a place where we say, I cannot, that's when we are turning from self-reliance to God-reliance. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Is it so basic, or have I lost you, or is... Okay, good. And if we could take that away, that it's a turning away from relying upon ourselves to figure things out, to live a certain way, to produce something, to saying, Lord, help me. It's a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, help me. That's what it is, guys. Okay, that's the key. Romans 8:26, many of us might know this. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I love that. Our flesh is weak. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Praise God. Okay. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Okay? So, it doesn't stop at I cannot. Okay? The Christian life doesn't stop at I cannot. But once we say I cannot, and we turn to God, then it's I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? But we don't get there until we start with I cannot. Let me give you guys a quick story here. I'm learning this. I'm still learning this. Okay? I'm still learning how to walk in the Spirit. I've been Christian for over 20 years. And even this week, I was trying to live, I was walking according to the flesh and going nowhere. And then I have to walk by the Spirit. There was a time when, maybe this is about 7, 8 years ago. So around 2007, I had been at VCF for some time, and that's when Michael first gave me the opportunity to preach. Okay? And preaching is like the most difficult thing ever. Okay? Maybe not. It's difficult for me. Okay? It's very difficult for me. And because you have to go up, and you have to have a word from God, and you have to talk for about 15 minutes, and if it's not from God, then people will be like, that was a waste of my time. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of pressure. But anyways, I've been preaching for a few years, and because I was new at this, I couldn't just pull a sermon out of the hat. So I had to prepare in advance. And so I'd been preparing in advance, and it was Saturday afternoon around 4:30, and then I realized everything I prepared is just junk. It's like, I don't see God in this at all. You know, it's just like my own thoughts. And I had this panic attack, because it's like, it's 4:30 Saturday afternoon, okay? And I'm like, oh man, not... I am running out of time. And the more I thought about it, the more of a panic I got into. And I told Amanda, and she prayed for me. And it was like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And I was like, I quit. I'm done. I'm done preaching. And I was about to call Michael Coe right there and say, Michael, you're preaching tomorrow. You know? But so I decided to take a walk outside. And I just walked around the houses on my block. And as I was walking, the whole time I'm like, so I'm saying to God, God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. You know? And I just kept saying that to God. I said, I can't do this. I cannot. I try to be clever and prepare in advance, and try to hear from you and try to have a message. But I cannot do this. And I was just so down. It's like, I can't do this. You know? And I don't know if you guys can relate. Like, you know, you have to get something done and you just can't do it. And it's 8 o'clock Saturday night and I'm going to have to eat humble pie and tell Michael I failed, you know? And so I'm just walking. I cannot do this. And then in an instant, I said to myself, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And I was like, where did that come from? Like, I just had that thought. You know, it wasn't me, because I was just saying, I cannot do this. But then all of a sudden this thought came and said, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And I just said, okay. I said, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me, okay? And see, what was happening is I was trying to do Christian ministry. I was trying to preach out of the flesh, out of my natural self. I mean, not completely, because obviously God was there, but God was trying to teach me something. And what was happening in that moment was God was saying, look, yeah, you cannot do this. But if you turn to me and depend on the Holy Spirit, you can do this. Now, I hadn't figured out how to do it very well, so it was a struggle for me. But I caught on to that. I was like, oh man, I can do this. And so I didn't have a sermon, but I had this faith that I can do this through Christ. And so I just kept walking around the block. And I walked for an hour, just with that thought in my head. And then after an hour, I got another phrase in my head, and the phrase was the sermon. Like, I just through the phrase, God gave me, like, half of the sermon. I don't know if that makes sense. He just gave me an angle on the Word of God that I was going to preach on, and I was like, oh. You know, I think it was, like, the word was sleep. And so I just preached on sleep, you know? I have a quote here from Watchman Nee from The Normal Christian Life. It's his angle on what it means to walk in the Spirit. It says, we refuse to act. Walking by the Spirit means you refuse to act, but we depend on Him to do so. We are depending on God to act, and then we enter fully and joyfully into the action He initiates. It is not passivity, it is a most active life, trusting the Lord like that, drawing life from Him, taking Him to be our very life, letting Him live His life in us as we go forth in His name. If we will let go of our wills and trust Him, we shall fall into a different law, the law of the Spirit of life. Okay? It's when we say, I cannot, God, I cannot do this. I cannot love my wife as you call me to, but I ask you to help me. Okay. Do you see there? It's a very subtle difference. I'm just hammering on that. The thing is, when we're afraid to let go of living by the flesh, because, like, then what do we have? What if God doesn't come through? That's a scary thing for some of us, is that when we stop, okay? It's like this, you know. You know in picture three? It's like we're trying to escape the earth, and it's like, if we stop, God, I'm just going to fall back to the earth, right? That's what we're afraid of. But when we do that, that's when the law of the Spirit of life takes over. And that's where this is where at VCF we're like, guys, you guys have to practice this every day. This is why we do devotions. This is why we spend time with God. So we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Another aspect of walking according to the Spirit is this idea of a resident boss. And I got this phrase from Watchman Nee. Okay? The Holy Spirit He's your resident boss. He lives in you, but he's your boss. Okay? He's not a resource that you can tap into when you want to. He's your boss. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Okay? He's the Lord of the universe. So he's our boss. He's our Lord. Okay? And it's a phrase that helps us to remember, oh, we rely on the resident boss. We yield to another who lives in me. Okay. Let's turn to page 4. Page 4 there's a prayer there. It's a 3-paragraph prayer, and I want to go over this with you guys, okay? It's a prayer that I prayed literally thousands of times. Okay? Literally thousands of times. I when I first moved down to Los Angeles in 1996, okay, I learned this prayer and I prayed it at least once a day, multiple times a day. Okay? And it's by a woman named Leanne Payne. She had an amazing healing ministry. But the thing that I really loved about Leanne Payne is that she was very, very strong in the Holy Spirit, but she was very, very rooted in the Word of God. Okay? And the things that the Christian foundation that we're talking about. Okay? And so below there I have some scriptural basis. And this prayer, really, you can go back to those scriptures that I've quoted there, like Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2:18, John 1, Galatians 5, okay? This prayer is really powerful because it's got scripture behind it. So I want to just go over this prayer, and I'm going to encourage you guys, if you don't have something yet like this, to pray this every day, okay? And because you'll be praying what you've learned in the past 3 lessons here. Okay? So what I do is I just take my right hand, guys, and put it over your heart. That's okay? Okay? Put it over your heart. Okay? And we start by saying, there is another who lives in me.
There is another.
Okay? And you can repeat out loud or just silently, okay? But you're saying, You are proclaiming your true identity, okay? You're not an empty person, okay? You're not just your flesh, okay? But there is another who lives in me, Christ, the light of the world, okay? And Galatians 2 says, you know, it's Christ who lives in me. Romans 8 says it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. These are interchangeable, okay? So Leanne Payne's prayer is, there is another who lives in me, Christ, the light of the world. Praise God. Okay, we start by that, okay? And it says, by whose Spirit and Word I am led into all truth. Okay? So this reminds us that the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God we're led into all truth. We, as Christians, we don't trust in our own thoughts. Okay, we trust in the Word of God. Okay, and whenever the Spirit speaks to us, it's in line with the Word of God. So it reminds us that. And then it says, by whose Spirit I can look up to the Father, sovereign over all, transcendent, high and holy, and know Him as my Heavenly Father. Okay, so just close our eyes and just meditate on that. Okay, so. And this is what I would do is I don't just read this and I'm done. Yeah? I'm entering into the reality of it, and to enter into that, you guys are going to have to repeat it over and over. So I say, yeah, there's another live who lives in me, Christ, the light of the world. And by whose Spirit, I'm going to lift up my eyes now. I don't live all alone in the world, but I live respect to a God. And actually, He's my Heavenly Father. He has become my Father, and I have become his child. And some of us, we may have, our pattern might be we've been looking at ourselves. We've been looking at our actions, but now we're empowered by the Spirit. Through the Spirit, we look up to God. Okay? And we might not feel his presence, but the objective presence is there, and we look to him. We look to him like the boy Samuel. He ministered before God, and it was years later that God revealed himself to him. So we're like the boy Samuel. We just look to God. Okay? Let's go to paragraph 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for indwelling me. I like the word indwell because it means he's there forever. Okay? And you know what Michael said? It's like we got to stir it. This is a way of stirring up that gift of God that is within us. And we talked about the Vitamix. This prayer is stirring up that Vitamix. Okay? So thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for indwelling me, for helping me. So it's the Holy Spirit who helps us. Okay? He helps us to receive God's words of love and affirmation in such a way as I find, accept, and live out my true and full identity as his beloved child in you and through the redemption you won for me. Okay, so let's just meditate on that for a little bit. Just take this time right now in the presence of God just to go over that second paragraph on your own, okay? What we're doing there, another beautiful part about the second paragraph is that it reminds us we're dead. We were alive to God now, right? We were dead. But God made us alive together with Christ. And Christ in me is helping me to be alive to God and hear his voice, hear his words of love, hear his words of instruction. And as we do that, we're going to live out our true and full identity as his beloved child. Okay, let's go to the third paragraph. It says, may your word, together with your presence within, radiate up throughout my entire being, increasingly granting to me a cleansed and a holy intellect, imagination, and a sensory feeling being. What this is saying is, Leanne Payne is kind of use fancy grammar, but she's basically saying, God, change me from the inside out. Okay? Cause it to go throughout the way I think, my imagination, my feeling, my everything, the way I live. Let it radiate up through me. Okay? Increasingly bearing the fruit of the Spirit, basically. I thank you, Lord, even in this moment, in advance for the answer to this prayer. Okay. And as I've prayed it thousands of times because I probably prayed it for about 10 years every day. I put this on a separate sheet for you guys so you can pull it out, stick it in your Bible. Okay? And if you don't have something else, use this. Okay? It's by repetition, and maybe you'll come up with something else. Okay? But it's this, and at VCF we talk about doing devotions. spending time with God every day in His Word. It's doing Bible tests every day. We learn how to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if when we do this, then we begin to feel that. Otherwise, we'll feel like the Holy Spirit is not moving. Right? But those who spend time, they're like, oh, man, the Spirit is moving fast. This way, that way. Okay? So I'm going to commend this to you, this practice, okay? Any questions? Thoughts? Feedback? Okay. All right. Then we're going to switch topics. And we're going to talk about the last aspect of baptism. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? I'm going to start with verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Okay? And so, I've got a few points here. First thing is that the body of Christ, you know how we talk about, many of us know, like, we are a new creation. Yeah? If you've been a Christian for a while, you've heard that, right? Like, but we think of it individually, like, yeah, I'm a new creation. Okay? But do you guys know that the body of Christ is a new creation too? Okay? With Christ being the head, okay? And each one of us are the members of that body. And so it says that when we're baptized, we're baptized into this body. Can you just imagine the body of Christ, okay? When you get baptized, you died, raised again, okay? Another thing that happened is you got baptized into His body. I got injected right there. Okay? Right into the biceps. Okay? Or it's a metaphor, right? It's not a real metaphor, but it's just so you guys can see that. So when we're baptized, remember last week we talked about we join Christ in His death, and we're joined to Christ in His resurrection, right? We're also joined to each other. I just want us to just take that in for a little bit, because we might just take that for granted. Okay, so through baptism, we're baptized into the body of Christ. Okay, and there's you could think of the body of Christ in two ways. One is the global body of Christ. There's one big body of Christ, right, that unites the churches in China, Africa, the U.S., everywhere. But we're part of the way that the churches grew in the New Testament is that there was a local body of Christ, like in each church. In each city. Okay? And so you guys are part of this local body called VCF. Okay? And what this tells us is that God baptizes us. We don't have to jump through hoops. It's when we're born again, okay, and we respond to God's call to join a church, and I think you guys have done that, right? It's like, oh, this is where God wants me to be part of the body. Okay? So it's a supernatural joining to Christ and to other Christians. So this is an aspect of your new identity, is that you're part of the body. Okay? You went from dead to alive, and you went from just being an individual to being part of a body. Praise God. Verse 15 through 16, it says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. The ear says, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Okay? Now many of us, some of us, might feel like, I don't belong. Okay? Because I'm not like this. Okay? And honestly, guys, I struggled with this at DCF. Okay? Because when I came, I was very young. I was 22 years old. Okay? And I would look at certain people and I'm like, I'm not like them. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to hear from God. I don't pray like that. I don't belong here. That's what I would just feel that. Okay? And thankfully I never yielded to that thought and stopped coming. Okay? I kept coming. Because what does it say here? It doesn't make you any less part of the body. Just because you feel that, that's your messed up feeling. That's your diseased feeling, okay? Your feelings, guys, are not accurate. Your feelings and thoughts about yourselves are not accurate. Only God's feelings towards you, which is love, okay? And God's thoughts are accurate. And so when we're baptized, when we're born again, we are members of the body, whether you like it or not, okay? My favorite verse here is verse 18. Okay? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Okay? That means that God put Chris, Hernandez, Cece, in this body as he chose. Okay? I want us to think about that. Each one of you, okay, he chose you and he arranged you in this local body very, very carefully. Okay? And so I have different translations because different translations bring out different flavors. So it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Okay, so I want you guys to look around. Okay? Each person here, God placed exactly where he wanted. Okay? Now, Chris might be saying, man, I'm not like Craig, or I'm not like whatever Ash, but he's a different part of the body, right? Because, and then he gives an example, like, if we were all eyes, what would we be? If we were all ears, okay? So Amanda makes fun of me in my house because I try to train my kids to be like me. And she's like, we don't need all Jihong. Because then, if everyone was Jihong, then there'll be no problems to solve, right? So she's mocking me, right? Right? So the body can't be just like, we can't have like, if we were even, as great as Ashanta is, if we had 100 Ashantas here, it would not be good. We need huh? A disaster? Okay, King James Version. Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Wow, like, it pleases God to form the body in this way. Praise God, right? He's like, he does it, and he's like, he does it with, like, great wisdom. But it, like, pleases him. He enjoys it. Pleasure of God. The message says, as it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. You know, so I shared with you guys, I used to feel like I don't belong. And actually, when I first came, like 3 years after I came, I got married to Amanda. And then Michael was like, okay, once you guys are married, you know, feel free to just like enjoy yourselves and you don't have to get involved super fast, right? But actually it worked against us because like we were just all alone. And I was like, I had this like angst, like what do I do, you know? So then I think one of the first things I did was I joined the small group, okay? And I'm not saying this so that you guys join a small group. I'm just giving you my example of the body, okay? And what happened one time was that we were just praying for one another in the small group. And there was I think we had shared our prayer requests. And this one guy, one brother, he had shared something about his mother. And so I just felt led to pray for him and his mother. And like the day before, I had been reading a verse. I forget where it is now. It's like in Corinthians somewhere. But I just prayed that for his mom. I just prayed that verse for his mom. And then he just started crying. I was like, oh no, what did I do? You know? And then so after we're done praying, he shared, he's like, you know what? That is like the go-to verse for my mom. You know, like she goes to that verse like every day. And somehow, because God had somehow, I didn't know this, but he had placed me there. You know, he had placed me in that body. And it was like, I was learning, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful when I'm part, even though I felt like I don't belong, when I gave myself to that, I didn't yield to that thought, I yielded to the truth that I'm part of this body, okay? And I began to experience the riches of the body of Christ. God's purpose for the church, okay? It's really a mistake to think of our Christian life as just all about my purpose. What does God have for me? Actually, the Bible doesn't really talk about that. Even though God has a purpose for each one of us individually, the Bible really talks about God's purpose for the church. I'm just going to borrow yours real quick because I don't have this verse. So I'm going to just read to you guys three verses, okay? We're almost done here. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Okay? What that means is God is building a house, right? A dwelling place for himself. Even though we each individually are the dwelling place of God, the body of Christ is the dwelling place of God as well. And so where does it start? It starts with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, right? Did I read that correctly? Mm-hmm. He's the cornerstone. And then there's the foundations are laid upon it. Okay. my drawing is not very good. And then it says there's the apostles and the prophets. Okay? So whatever, Peter, the prophets, Isaiah, whatever. So here's Jesus. Okay? And then this house is being built, and we are also being built together. You are fellow citizens. You are not strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. Okay? So, on top of Peter and Isaiah, we've got here Chris Hernandez. Right? Sorry to pick on you. We've got Michelle Cohen. John Liu. And so forth. Okay? Should we go through every name? Do you guys believe this?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay? You have to resist, I do not belong. Okay? Once you baptize, once you become a Christian, that's coming from the enemy. Yeah? So just put your name here, okay? We're being built together. We need all the different stones there. Okay? All right. Ephesians 3:8. So that, this is God's purpose, guys, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay? When each part is working properly. Okay? So if you say, I don't belong, then you're not gonna work properly. But when you accept your identity as part of the body that God placed you there, even though you're different than everyone else, praise God for that. Okay? Then when you live your life in the body, then you know what happens? It says it makes the body grow. Check this out. So that it builds itself up in love. The body of Christ, it's like it builds itself up in love. It grows in itself through the members all working together. That's how the church is supposed to function. Okay? So, what is our response? First, let's accept this aspect of the new identity. Okay? So, our new identity is Christ lives in me. I'm alive to God, but I'm also part of this body. Participating in the life of the body, of this body. Okay. Some of you have been here for a while. Some of you have been here just a short time. Okay. I'm going to encourage every single one to begin, and God will lead you. Right. If you yield, the Holy Spirit is going to make you work properly in this body. So you just have to yield to Him. You don't have to think about it. God will lead you, okay? Someone might ask you, hey, Craig, have you thought about doing this at DCF? And then you'll say, let me pray about it. And it's like, oh yeah, I feel God saying yeah. Okay? So someone might ask you, or you might feel then, you know what? Oh, I want to do this for the body. Okay? So it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Okay? So we participate in the life of the body. You know, when I started coming to VCF, the first way I served was I was a counter. I counted the money after the service because I could do math. Okay, I could count. Okay, and then they asked me to be part of the tape ministry. You know what that is? The tape ministry. we used to record the sermons on tapes.
Oh.
You know what a tape is? You know, it's like, and then we had this machine. It cost $2,000. And we put the master in, and we would put three other tapes, and they would copy it in like 3 minutes. And we would sell them after service, because we had to, like, can't give them away for free. And we would sell like 20 tapes every Sunday. So I was part of the tape ministry, you know? And then it, you know, I've continued to be part of it, okay? At different seasons, there's different things, okay? So look for the next step, yield to that. Say yes to that. And then look for opportunities. And then there's this thing called covenantership that I want to invite all of you to consider. Okay? And covenantership is a fancy word at VCF for being members. Okay, we call VCF members covenanters. Okay? And so about once a year we'll have covenanters class. Okay? And I know some people here have already asked different ones of us, like, when's the next round, okay? But please join us for that, okay? And it's because it's part of a new identity, and that's how you will grow. The gifts of the Spirit, you cannot exercise it on your own, because the gifts of the Spirit are for the common good. So you have to be with others. You have to participate in the life of the body, okay? All right. So that is it. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Great. You guys made it?